This is your guide to book publishing. Everything you want to know but didn't know what to ask, with your host, Dr. Judith Briles, on the Rockstar Radio Network. On the show today, you'll find out where book publishing is going and how to take advantage of it. How to identify and avoid publishing predators. What opportunities are emerging as the book trade evolves in new forms. How to avoid losing money. And much, much more. Join us now as a variety of publishing pros will deliver insights and strategies to take the author to the next level of publishing. It's your guide to book publishing. Everything you want to know but didn't know what to ask. Brought to you by Author U and The Book Shepherd on the Rockstar Radio Network. And now, here's your host, Dr. Judith Briles.
Well, it's a fabulous day. We're in summertime still, although I have to say from my home base in Colorado, it's thunderstorms again, but at least we don't have fires, is the best I can say. Here's what we're going to be talking about is some firestorms that consistently happen with authors, and we see it over and over again. It is a hiccup, and it's a big hiccup, actually, that they often don't get started soon enough in the game, and they wait until the entire book is done or it's all over, and then they think, oh my God, I need a website. And you're right. But it's a good idea to bring it in and start that development before you have your book totally ready so that you can start the process and get your branding going, get your blogs going, get your interaction going, get your list building going, get so much going, and yet few authors really think about this. It's almost like, I just have to concentrate on the writing. I just have to work on my book. I just have to. Instead of really come into play and realizing it, there's a whole package that hasn't happened here. And the reason why I wanted to focus on this today actually started in on an author who I've been working with for quite a while. We are at the printer, and it's really quite a wonderful book. And we've been working on a website, or he brought in a friend, which always, you know, my alarms go off in this because, is this friend a professional? Is this what they do? Or are they diddling with it? And it's not that she wasn't competent in some of the things she did, but she wasn't highly proficient in creating websites. So my conversation with my client this morning was, I've had it. I'm getting brain damage with having to go over and repeating things that this is what this needs, where intuitively, a designer would know that there are some natural placements that what you want to do when you want to bring it in. So I've asked Shannon Parrish to join me. Shannon Parrish has her website at shannonparrish.com. And that she is, one, has high design capability. She is an illustrator and a cartoonist. But she also does websites, and specifically author websites and book websites. And there are some nuances with these that are going to be different from a corporate website, from a party website, or, you know, whatever you want the website to be. So here's what I want to do. We're going to jump into this. I want to welcome. Hi, Shannon. How are you?
I am fine.
Good. All right. So you've got your website hat on. We're going to do makeovers today. And I want to get into some of the real snafus that authors consistently do. And I'd like to get into some checklists that you actually would put together. Let's pretend that we have an author out here who is into literally starting, just getting started with putting together a website for her, let's make it a her, make it easy here, her new book. And let's say the book is a nonfiction book. And we can switch over to a fiction too, because I know you do both. And there are some differences that you need to have in play here. So
let's say
that I'm brand new in the game. What would I be doing here?
The first thing that any author wants to do is they want to be very familiar with their target markets and who their readers are going to be. to try and end a relationship after you've had all your books arrive at the doorstep makes you look like you're trying to push something on people and they don't know who you are, so they don't trust you. So mm-hmm. your number one goal is to build trust with your audience, and that includes being able to tell them, okay, this is where I'm at in my reader process, this is what I've learned, this is why I'm doing this, and you start to build a trust in the relationship with your readers so that they start investing themselves in your process and start cheering you on. Then they're already invested, not just time, but by relationship, they want to see you succeed. Then when your book comes out, then they're already behind you and they're already doing your viral marketing for you by telling others about what you're doing. And their payoff is that they get to be the inside fan group. They're the inner circle. And you want to build up that relationship with them. A lot of your decisions may change depending upon the feedback that you get from these people, and it could save you thousands of dollars by listening and paying attention to what they say and how they perceive you.
So you're talking about really pre-book. This is pre-book what you're talking about.
You can, really? Absolutely. You can do pre-book sales. As you've mentioned many times before, is that if you build your audience and you're letting them know about your book, they can get in on buying the book ahead of time, and then the author's printing is already paid for by the pre-orders before they ever get the book off the belt. The reason why a lot of authors wait is because they're thinking in terms of money and what they can afford at the moment. They're not looking at the long-term plan.
All right, so let's come back to this, because I do want to talk about a pre-website and going on. And so what would you do, for example, one author, a joint client we worked on was an author by the name of Courtney Miller. And he has a book that actually is the printer right now, his first book, and he sees a seven-book series, and he is a fictional author. So when you are developing Courtney's website, and had it up and running long before the book was actually finished and going, what are some of the things that you had on it to engage visitors to start building that trust?
Well, with Courtney, he had already been doing a great deal of blogging and adding some really interesting photos and stories to his whole process. So his passion and his expertise were very obvious. And it was really easy to create an interest of what the next book is going to be, so the anticipation becomes high. It was also very easy for me as a designer to understand who he is as an author, as an individual, what and how to represent him with the colors and the whole delivery and interaction of the website based upon what I was reading from him. So having that participation with him, the conversations that we had, sharing the photographs, being able to talk to him to find out what his end goals were. Is this going to be the only book, or are you going to have many? In his case, like, as you said, he's writing a series. Then the website has to be built to accommodate that series as each one rolls out.
All right, so at CourtneyMillerAuthor.com for our listeners, if they want to visit it, Courtney had an active blog ongoing, where he was talking about a variety of things around Native American history. And his book is a fictional account of a young Cherokee who goes to the dark side, so to speak, and some of the mythology that comes up.
And then
the site is rich with a lot of photos on that around blogs or
really
just general information. Right. So in a fiction,
right?
Go ahead.
Well, what I was going to say is the thing that makes his site so interesting is his expertise as the history that he knows and the archaeology studies that he does and the visits he does. So he takes real life historical events and then he spins the tale of what could have happened involving those things. So it's really interesting.
So what we're saying here is for our fiction authors, and you can do this certainly for nonfiction too, Buzz, that you're inviting the visitor of your site in on what's going on in the development. In Courtney's case, it was the development of his book, as well as the development and the just general history of the Cherokees and anything else really in the Native American arena. Is that correct?
Well, he's yes, that, and for any author, whether it's fiction or nonfiction, people are going to want to know, who are you to write this book? What's your journey? What's your history? What do you know? I could write that, or anybody could write it. Why should I trust you? So you're building trust with your relationship by letting people know who you are as an author and why this matters to you.
All right. So that's a critical thing to do, is that whole trust building. And you also, I think that you can develop with, if, especially if you have characters going, or you can throw out a dilemma that's happening, or maybe you're just, it's just not coming together, that when you start having visitors and dialogue happening with your blog, you can actually share that, and you'd be amazed how people will start jumping in and maybe give you ideas of maybe some direction to do, or if they, and when, especially when they know something about your characters.
Absolutely. Well, and not only that, you're building a support system, and these are people that may want to participate financially in where you're going with that, especially with the crowdfunding that's available now, which we didn't have before. There's no reason why you can't build your dream properly and in the beginning, instead of having to stop and redo it over after everything has already been rolled out. That's confusing to your audience and makes you look like an unprofessional.
And, you know, when we come back, we're coming up close to a break here, but we will come back and we're going to talk about crowdfunding, because it does work for fiction, especially if you have your book is about something that might be, it could be controversial, it could have a lot of interest, it will be, it's genre specific, and there are people out there that are looking to support that, not only in the development, but in the marketing side, the production and the marketing. I mean, you have development, which is your writing, and then you have your production, which is creating and printing and all that, and then you have the whole marketing and getting it out there so the fans will find you. So we'll have all that, much more, and I want Shannon to start going through a checklist of what you should be looking for in creating your website. You're listening to Your Guide to Book Publishing. I'm Judith Ball.
This is Your Guide to Book Publishing. Everything you want to know but didn't know what to ask. With your host, Dr. Judith Briles. And we'll be right back with more great information right after these on the Rockstar Radio Network.
Is there a book in you, or another author you, will show you how to create, develop, and publish your book without being hoodwinked? If you already have a book out, you'll find a supportive and brainstorming community that's connected and creative no matter where you live. AuthorU brings in national experts for its book camps and annual author extravaganza held each May. It has regular meetings and delivers webinars for its members on timely topics. Through AuthorU's extensive network, members enjoy exclusive benefits, including significant discounts for a variety of services necessary to publishing. The Resource, its online book publishing news magazine, is content-heavy and it's free. If you want to create a book that has pizzazz, punch, and panache, AuthorU is for you. If you're a hobbyist or a casual author, it's not. Join AuthorU today through its website at AuthorU.org. Follow AuthorU on Twitter at AuthorU and on Facebook at AuthorU, where timely author and publishing tips and articles are posted daily. AuthorU, where the author goes to become seriously successful.
Sell stuff? Do you want to sell books? Lots of them? If yes, you must take credit cards, the most widely used form of payment today. The Free Terminal has created a special program for Your Guide to Book Publishing listeners. No contract, all equipment is free. Extremely low rates and no termination fees ever. Contact Alan Dean at alan@thefreeterminal.com or call him at 303-668-6828. The Free Terminal has handled all credit card transactions for both Author U and Judith for over a year. Don't wait another day. Contact Alan at thefreeterminal.com or call 303-668-6828 and tell him you want the no-contract Author U deal.
Every picture tells a story. And it's a truism that people do judge a book by its cover. Nick Selinger and NZ Graphics have been in the business of producing superior graphic cover design and interior layout for self-published authors, independent and traditional publishers for years. He has developed a reputation for excellent work, fast turnarounds, and best of all, affordable pricing. NZ Graphics also produces ebooks and book marketing materials such as posters, sell sheets, postcards, bookmarks, business cards, logos, and more. Books designed for his clients have won multiple book awards, including Best Book Award by U.S. Book News, multiple Evie Awards from the Colorado Independent Publishers Association, Indie Book Awards, the San Francisco Book Festival Award, and Freedom Medal Award from Valley Forge. Visit www.nzgraphics.com or call 303-985-4174 for more details about making your book the success it should be. Mention that you are an FOJ, friend of Judith's, and that you heard about NZ Graphics on your guide to book publishing.
Welcome back to Your Guide to Book Publishing. Everything you want to know but didn't know what to ask on the Rockstar Radio Network. If you want to write and publish a book, if you want to be successful as an author, Your Guide to Book Publishing, Everything You Want to Know But Didn't Know What to Ask, is for you. Stay tuned and you'll hear about statistics, scenarios, and strategies on what to do now to get you published. So let's get back to the show. And here again is your host, Dr. Judith Briles.
Websites. Every author needs one, no exception. Even the kingpins in publishing, the people who are household names, whether it's J.K. Rowling, whether it's Dan Brown, whether it's Harvey McKay, they have websites. So how do you create one that's rocking and rolling? That's what we're getting into today. And with me is Shannon Parrish. She designs websites for authors, for either the author themselves, the book, or the combo. Shannon, you talk about going through a checklist of things that are that you need. What are some of those things on that checklist?
Well, there's two types of checklists. The first one that I start with any client is by interviewing them. And I want to know what the point is of their website. It's not just book sales. It has to be more than just book sales. Otherwise, you're just nothing more than an advertisement on the web. So the questions that I ask are in regards to, one, their desired goal. Is it book sales? Will it include speaking? Will it include products? Will it be educational? Will it be digital products? How is it going to interact, or how do you want the audience to participate on your web? Are you going to be actively involved in something like a forum? Or do you want them to comment on your blogs? How are you going to make that happen? I want to know how much you know about social media and how a website works, and specifically how WordPress works, and how much control you want to have over it. So there's an initial interview that I do with them. Are you going to inform, or are you going to entertain? Who is your fan base? And how do you want them to evangelize who you are and what you do? How are you going to get them excited? Which, again, goes back to how are we going to interact? And then do you have resources that you want to provide to them? Then once I get a good overall view of what your vision is, which is really good one for you to actually realize, because a lot of times people have a passion and a heart for something, but they don't understand what the point is of why they did it in the first place.
Yeah.
Then we go through a website checklist where I can get information from them about whether this is a new site. Is it going to be a redesign of an existing site that is already functioning? Will it be only for the purpose of marketing the book, or is it your regular website So is it a book launch site? Mm-hmm. Have you been blogging in WordPress already, or are you going to start from scratch? Then I need all your logins, whatever your hosting is. Your domain names, are they in a lot of different places? We may pull them all together and put them on the same hosting, which is always recommended but rarely done. Are we going to be using PayPal, Amazon, or Barnes & Noble, or some other type of delivery and sales distribution for your book? Are you going to have videos on your website? There's a checklist, and in my checklist I have a lot of suggestions, so they can just read down it and they can check, yes, I want that, no, I don't want that, yes, I'm going to need that. It kind of helps to jog their memory. So I always give them a checklist to kind of help them think through that process. And then all of these things are variables. They may begin in the beginning and then build, or the author may be ready to just implement all of them all at once. And so then we can just build a website that will function according to what they're doing right now and then where they want to go.
Mm-hmm. I know a website that you and I were talking about earlier today. It was very critical to have a resources tab. And talk about tabs. Those little marks that you have along the dashboard or the upper section of a website. Is there a rule of how many you should have or you shouldn't have? How they should be displayed?
No, there's not really. You want it to be as simple and clean as possible, but there's so many variety of ways to distribute those menu tabs that people can access that the questions that I asked earlier about how you want your website to function are going to play into where you put your menu items. Are you going to have a menu at the top of your website? Are you going to have a row at the underneath your header or more than one row? Or do you want to have menus in your sidebars? You can do all of those things. And the beauty of WordPress is that you can create those menu tabs not by having to create individual pages, but WordPress will gather together your blog posts according to a category. And that category can become a tab, and it will continue to grow. It's all hands off once it's in the tab. So say if I was an educator who educated leaders in a school system, for instance, I might want to educate secretaries. I might want to educate a teacher. I might want to educate a musician, you know, and they have different categories. Well, I'm educating by blogging and talking about certain things that pertain to all of them, but I want certain groups of them to really pay attention. So I would select those categories of elementary school teacher or secretary or administration or whatever, and then have tabs that said teachers, administration, or extracurricular activities, and all those things would flow underneath that tab according to whatever category I checked. So if an administrative person was looking for only the things that they needed to read, they could check on the administrative tab, and they could read all of those things that pertain to them and what they need to do. The same thing with the teacher. They don't care about the administrative part, but they want to see all that pertains to them. And even though a blog post may cross over between both of them in information, it's ordered so that they can see it by that specific interest and how it applies to them personally. Did that make sense?
Yeah, so what you're saying is there's, in effect, some general kind of tabbing, but then that becomes very customized.
Yes.
And you get to cherry pick.
Exactly.
And it'll help you do
exactly.
That. That's what I heard. Okay.
There are basic site pages that you should have, such as about, you know, about the author and about the book. Mm-hmm. Are you selling products? You need a products tab. Are you needing a contact form? You have a contact form. Do you have a resources page or a facts page that has where people can ask questions and then you answer it so that you can deflect phone calls type thing? Mm-hmm. Those are basic pages that come with every website that you should have.
Mm-hmm. So then, and then on the contact, well, let me just jump over here. Contact is pretty general, but I'm going to suggest to our listeners that you can be creative here. That you don't have to be just plain old give me your name and your phone number and your, you know, when to contact you kind of thing. You can be specific and ask, for example, if you also spoke on your topic, you could literally ask if you're inquiring about speaking for your group, that, you know, give us the date. And you can be very specific and ask for those dates, because you could respond immediately, I'm available or I'm not. So yes. that would make sense. Okay, so let's talk about, is WordPress the go-to platform to use now, or are there other ones that authors should consider?
There are other platforms out there. WordPress is the number one leader. There's a whole lot of other platforms out there that are similar to WordPress that function like that. I work with WordPress myself personally. Others will work with other things such as Joomla. Some people want membership websites, so they'll work with something else that is addressing membership strongly. Mm-hmm. But the difference is, in the old days when I made HTML websites, they were clumsy and tedious and cumbersome. People complained a lot about trying to get their webmaster to change things, which were absolutely necessary to change because they were on deadlines or they had dates or events that were happening, and often the webmaster just couldn't get to it, so information was often outdated. The beauty of WordPress is that even if you don't know beans about coding or website stuff, it is easy enough for you to start learning and to be able to have control of your website. And God forbid, if a yellow bus should take your webmaster person away, you're not going to lose your business because now you can't access your website. You still have access to your website, and you can still update it while you find another webmaster to take over.
Yeah, so my takeaway here is you don't need to know beans about coding. It's irrelevant. What you do need to know is your password to get in.
Absolutely. Yeah, that's for sure. Absolutely. Yeah, you need to know your password, and you have to be responsible for that. I think the biggest thing that I run into is the greatest enemy that anybody has is fear that they can't do it, or that they're dumb enough. They're too dumb to learn it, and that's nonsense. It's not
that
hard.
All right, let's come back to the fear factor. Okay, we have one more break, and we'll come back on the fear factor with websites. And then we will get into some more of those do's and don'ts and snafus. It's your guide to book publishing. I'm Judith Bryles.
Okay.
This is your guide to book publishing. Everything you want to know but didn't know what to ask. With your host, Dr. Judith Bryles. And we'll be right back with more great information right after these on the Rockstar Radio Network.
Since 1987, Color House Graphics has set the standard for quality book production. Whether you decide to print a small quantity of books or need a large print run, depend on Color House to help you. You'll receive professional help and advice the moment you reach one of our representatives. If you mention hearing about us on your guide to book publishing with Judith Bryles, we will provide you with discounts on the first order you place. To speak with a project manager, call us toll-free at 800-454-1916 or visit us at www.colorhousegraphics.com.
When Ned Thompson and Harry Shore started Thompson Shore in 1972, they believed employees with great character would make up the best company. They were right. They hired people who were not only experts in bookmaking, but who were obsessed with quality and delivering exceptional customer service. Almost 40 years later, Thompson Shore remains a 100% employee-owned company. Ned and Harry knew that successful customer projects are a direct result of empowered employees. We specialize in all books for large and small publishers. Creating beautiful and well-made books, we're dedicated to pleasing our customers by making the experience a good one from start to finish. The personal touch we have with our customers allows us to be innovative in solving their most difficult challenges. Our platform also ensures that we can remain flexible to meet our customers' unique needs and expectations. Our marketing kit can create buzz for your title, enhancing the promotion of your book during infancy. When you need to test the market to gauge your future sales, we can provide digitally printed books that will transition seamlessly into a larger offset run. From ebook to hard copy to delivery, our skillful customer service teams are at the ready to answer your most pressing question. At Thompson Shore, we know that making the highest quality books requires more than just best technologies. It requires superior customer service, professionalism to the trade, and commitment to environmental and social values. With these standards of excellence in place, you can be sure that we will always help you put your best book forward.
Welcome back to Your Guide to Book Publishing. Everything you want to know but didn't know what to ask on the Rockstar Radio Network. Coming up, you'll hear more about statistics, scenarios, and strategies on what to do now to get you published. So let's get back to the show. And here again is your host, Dr. Judith Briles.
Oh, fear factors. What are fear factors when it comes to not only developing a website, but also how about working with professionals who are in there? And as we opened, I shared a situation where I was working with a client who I've gotten to know extraordinarily well over the last 8 months, and we're really into the total final stretch of the creation of his book that he actually had been writing for years. And it just now it's really all coming together. And that he wanted to work with a friend who said that could do a website. And I actually have told you at this point that in clients who I am book shepherding, that you have to work with my team because, as I said to Dale, I am getting brain damage trying to train this person, because it turned out that she was a lovely person, lovely, and she knew a few elementary factors about websites, but she wasn't really a designer, and creativity really wasn't high on her marks. She was functional, and for your book, you need something beyond functional. So, Shannon, what are some of these fear factors you see with people when they're looking along the line of creating a website and also working with someone?
Probably the biggest thing is, one, is they're overwhelmed with the whole scope of what they've begun. And now that it's kind of like giving birth to a baby, and now it's hitting you, all the responsibilities of raising that baby and educating the baby and protecting the baby and the cost involved. And so there's a lot of reassurance that has to happen. And because authors need the reassurance, a lot of times they'll default out of fear and go to something that's familiar, such as a friend, or such as something that says, well, we're free and it's easy and you can go ahead and build your website, but they don't understand that they're actually building a platform for somebody else to advertise and make money off of their efforts. The ignorance that surrounds fear is that you're lacking information and you need to know better what it is that you're going to accomplish. But so there's also a fear of lack of money, that they're not going to have enough money, rather than asking a better question of where can they get the money and what financing might be available, or, as we mentioned earlier, the crowdfunding solution, is that going to work for you? They're afraid that they're not smart enough. And just the idea of a new learning curve sets them into overtime, and again, they default back to a friend or somebody they can hold their hand, not realizing that even though their friend knows how to build a website, maybe they even know HTML code or some of the other coding, do they understand the market? Do they understand the needs of that author and how they're going to build their business? Do they understand anything about an entrepreneurial brain, or do they just know how to code up stuff? Do they even know how to make it look right? There's so many elements and layers involved. How is it going to react with the audience? Fear keeps people from asking better questions about where they're going and what they want to accomplish with their website. They just want to check it off the list and have somebody else do it for them. And the person they think of that's the easiest is somebody that they're familiar with and they already feel safe with.
And maybe that person also...
They may be afraid...
You know, it could be that that person who they feel safe with, because they know them or they're a friend or whatever, also won't challenge them with some of the ideas they have. Because, I mean, I have ideas a minute, and they may be not be the right fit for what I'm trying to really express or display. And you need someone to come back and counter that.
Yeah. You know, probably 100% of anybody I've ever talked to that defaulted to a friend or a relative to build their website, later on down the road, it backfired on them, and then they had a horrible time getting out of it because of hurt feelings and all the political drama within the friendship or the family. A lot of hurt feelings. And you want to be able to work with somebody who understands the dynamic that business is business, and if somebody needs to move, you know, if I've hit all my expertise and I've done all I can for you, and you need to move further because you're going into becoming a huge, massive corporation or something, you want to know that I'm going to be behind you and say, okay, here's what you need, and then turn over everything to you, not throw a temper tantrum or have hurt feelings because you've somehow betrayed me. You don't want that drama in your business.
Right, because this is your book, and it is your baby, and you and it does happen, and I've seen it happen a lot with and when you brought up someone who example of someone who really does know the old school, who does really know the coding, and often when they're still stuck in their coding, they're not out using maybe some of the more modern techniques or some of the snap, crackle, and pop, let's say, that might be available with a simple plug-in that they are so used to, and maybe, Shannon, I'll have you define what a plug-in is, but that they're so used to creating the originality of it that they don't realize that for $5 or maybe for free, they could have had it all done and not spent 3 hours creating the coding. So
A plug-in is a piece of code that is entered into your WordPress that has a very specific function. It could be a piece of code that allows other people to share your blog post with other people, and it gives you the little pop-ups and the like by Facebook. It could be a plug-in that allows you to have a contact form. It could be a plug-in that helps to guide you through better search engine optimization of your blog post. It could be a plug-in that's a clock, or it could be a hamster that's very hungry and you need to feed it, which is the case of what we put on a teenage author's website, which I'm embarrassed to say I have had more fun playing with that hamster from time to time than anything else I've put onto a website before. It's great fun.
Yeah, and so what you need to say is sometimes a gimmick works here, and in the case, this is Vivian Reeves.
It sure does.
Yeah, this was VivianReeves.com website. She's an 18-year-old. She just came out with her first book called Behind Closed Doors, About Teens, By Teens, and For Teens. And it was, it's really quite a remarkable work for a young woman that really did a survey of kids and what they thought, what they felt, where they saw they're going. And I learned a lot as I was working with her on it. But I thought it would be fun to find something that would be gimmicky, for a better word. And I came across a site that had these different plugins. It was a freebie, if I remember correctly, Shannon.
It is a freebie, and it was a fantastic idea.
Yeah, and we uploaded it. Yeah, right on her homepage. And you feed the hamster. Mm-hmm. It jumps out of its little wheel, and it takes a drink. And if you don't feed it, it gets back in its wheel and goes. But the reality is, sometimes those gimmicks keep people on a website longer than normal, and they actually might start exploring it. Another plugin I found that, and I have it actually on the BookShepherd.com website, and it is on the homepage on the left. And as I said, it wasn't free. I think it cost me $9.95. But what it allows me to do is put up the front covers of books that I've worked on, so that at all times, like on a merry-go-round, this thing goes around, that you can see different book covers. So it keeps action and movement on a website.
Yes.
Which is a good thing to do.
A plugin can be it can be extremely functional too. For instance, I just got through adding one onto one of your websites that will interlink your blog posts among each other. So it creates internal links so that when you refer in a blog post about another blog post you've made, certain keywords that you've written in there, that plugin will read that keyword and connect the two blog posts together. Then if somebody's reading something and you refer to it, there's a link that goes to that other blog post. They can read that. And when the plugin senses that the people are reading and what the line of thinking is of what they're reading, it begins to suggest, well, you've read this. You might want to take a look at this. And it makes the journey of the reader more productive and more helpful, and they stay on your website a lot longer, and then they start becoming invested in the website and start building a relationship with you, because now it's easy to navigate and they can get through your material quicker rather than your priceless material getting buried in a whole bunch of other hoopla. So that is an invaluable plugin to have on your website.
So what you're saying, here's another key thing that just popped out. Your websites really create an investment, not only for you. It does take money to create them, but it creates an investment for the visitor that they're now going to be, they trust you, and they will become invested in your words and your recommendations. Would that be correct to say?
Absolutely. When we go to a website, the first thing is, what are you looking for? And what's in it for you to stick around and look? I've been on some websites that are from huge, like big networks and TV and radio type people that should know better. And just landing on their website was so overwhelming and so busy, and I had so many ads in my face that I was off within a split second. And then I'll go to another website that's laid out like a paper that makes sense, and I can navigate through, and they'll suggest stuff. And before I know it, I have just totally made a massive rabbit trail and then bookmarked the website because I had value. That gave me a payoff, and I know where I can get my resources at then. And then I always share with other people because we all want to be the hot shot that finds out a good resource.
All right, so let me ask you this, because we have 1 minute for our final break, and then I want to come through with some really questions that they should ask a potential webmaster. Actually, 30 seconds, my producer says. But that coming back to the plugin you mentioned that referenced, it looks for keywords. So if I'm writing a blog, let's say on the authoryou.org, there is the I'm putting up on the last 3 weeks the 1, 2, 3 big myths of book marketing. If I use my keywords, it will automatically do a highlight on a keyword to do a cross to another one. It will do a search and seek.
Yes.
Is okay. All right. With that, we're going to come back. This is Judith Riles. It's your guide to book publishing. My guest this hour is Shannon Parrish of shannonparrish.com.
This is your guide to book publishing. Everything you want to know but didn't know what to ask. With your host, Dr. Judith Briles. And we'll be right back with more great information right after these on the Rockstar Radio Network.
Do you sell stuff? Do you want to sell books? Lots of them? If yes, you must take credit cards, the most widely used form of payment today. The Free Terminal has created a special program for your guide to book publishing listeners. No contract, all equipment is free. Extremely low rates and no termination fees ever. Contact Alan Dean at alan@thefreeterminal.com or call him at 303-668-6828. The Free Terminal has handled all credit card transactions for both Author You and Judith for over a year. Don't wait another day. Contact alan@thefreeterminal.com or call 303-668-6828 and tell him you want the no-contract Author You deal.
The shepherding concept is simple. The publishing world is changing, and so must you. You need an experienced shepherd and a guide to partner with you as you create, strategize, develop, publish, and achieve your publishing goals. You can't do it alone without paying the price. You can spend your money creating a book that turns out to be so-so, or you can create a book that looks and feels classy, builds your brand, and is a financial success, a bestseller. It's your choice. You choose. You need the Book Shepherd. Publishing is riddled with obstacles, sometimes nightmares for the author. You don't need problems, you want solutions. Dr. Judith Briles will shepherd you through the maze and the chaos. At times, she's had to step in and rescue a book that has been sabotaged by a publisher or by a publishing service provider or sometimes even the author themselves. Judith Briles is the book shepherd if you want to create a book with no regrets. Give her a call today, 303-885-2207. That's 303-885-2207 or email her at judith@briles.com. By the way, Briles is spelled B-R-I-L-E-S. Follow Judith on Twitter at My Book Shepherd and on Facebook at The Book Shepherd.
At Total Printing Systems, customer service is our priority. We are located in Southern Illinois. Our employees have an average of 18 years' experience and know that customer relationships are important to our continued success. We have been a short-run book printer for nearly 40 years and always stay at the forefront of technology. Our niche is from 1 to 5,000 copies. Today, we offer digital black and white and four-color high-speed inkjet printing, a cost-effective way to introduce color into your short-run titles. We, of course, offer traditional offset printing as well. Bindery is done in-house, from adhesive case binding to PUR perfect binding to mechanical binding of all types, including side sewing. We provide warehousing, kitting, distribution, inventory management, a new print-on-demand facility, streaming browser-based ebooks, and bookstore. Call us at 1-800-465-5200 for a quote on your next book project. You can also visit our website at www.tps1.com.
Welcome back to your guide to book publishing. Everything you want to know but didn't know what to ask on the Rockstar Radio Network. If you want to write and publish a book, if you want to be successful as an author, your guide to book publishing, Everything You Want to Know But Didn't Know What to Ask, is for you. Stay tuned and you'll hear about statistics, scenarios, and strategies on what to do now to get you published. So let's get back to the show. And here again is your host, Dr. Judith Briles.
All right, so this last section, it's clear that there are we're talking very elementary in a lot of things, but there's a lot of advanced stuff you should be thinking about. And the why we were running the commercial, Shannon and I were talking about some more really much more sophisticated things and some other tools that you can go. And I think what we'll do is we'll do a part two with some more advanced strategies. But Shannon, what I want to do is also focus on, before we leave our listeners, is to really talk about what is, if someone comes to you, what are the questions they should be asking? It's along the lines of, what do you wish people would ask you but they never do that would make your job so much easier?
The first thing that people need to understand is that prospective webmaster hearing them. Does the webmaster have enough overview of their field of area of expertise, their industry, to be able to ask the right questions that will help them navigate through what they need to know on how to build a website? You can have a personality conflict with the right webmaster, and if that webmaster will ask you back questions, or that you can, communication is really important. If you're not understanding each other, you're going to be shoveling water up a hill, or whatever, raking the water up the hill. Does the webmaster understand you and what your goals are? If you are having a problem articulating it, what's the problem and what do you need to know? Because your responsibility is also to ask the webmaster questions that will help them. A lot of webmasters are very technical geeks. They're not into the marketing. They don't care. They're just, I can build you code, and they take great pride in the code that they build, and they're great. Let a webmaster who understands your business build your website for you and help you build the vision, and then they can subcontract out to a geek to build special code if you need special code. You have to really understand what are your end goals. And for an author or a speaker who needs a website up now, something that they can manage themselves, they want to work with a webmaster that is listening to them, that is asking the right questions and helping them to knock out a plan of growth and what you want to accomplish now and what will you be accomplishing next year and then 5 years from now. How are you going to grow into your website? Because if you get somebody that just builds you a website and they put up a basic website to get it over and done with because it was cheap, I mean, you know, time is money, and so they build a quick website with your four basic pages and boom, that's it, and they're gone, and then you start growing in your audience, you want to interact, you want to add calendars or forums or other products and features, your theme may not allow you to expand at all. It may keep you chained, and then you have to start from scratch and rebuild all over again. So you really want to be able to articulate with your webmaster of what your goals are and how you want people to interact. You don't want a webmaster either that's going to bully you into features that are going to cost you money or that you don't understand. Because, again, that webmaster is not listening to you. They're probably thinking about their own affiliate paychecks. And you want somebody of integrity that's going to care about your business and how you're building your website and your future. This is your dream that you're investing in. Make sure you have the right person on your team.
Which is critical, which is always critical. And because it's not a short-term relationship, really. I mean, your webmaster really is going to be around for a while because there's going to be little tweaks and things that you do as it goes through. And then you have this whole thing called the makeover that I mentioned really earlier on, that when do you get a new dress, Shannon? When is it
time?
Well,
there's two different ways of looking at that. A redo of your website through WordPress can be quite easy as far as adding an extra sidebar or moving things around, adding different features. There are some really flexible websites that allow you to grow. So you can start off with something that looks extremely simple and end up with a quite involved website without having to change the theme. You just are changing graphics and information and menus. But then there's a time when the whole theme, the website, everything doesn't work anymore. It's too cluttered, it's too busy, or your vision for your business has changed and you have to redo it. That is a rebuild. You can't take what's already there except for all of the text content and the images, but you would be creating it inside a new theme. And so you have to go back to the drawing board. What was successful? What do we need to change? What goes? What was cool but did nothing as far as search engine optimization or product sales, out the window it goes. You know, you have to, you know, how are we going to simplify this because of your audience may get more sophisticated, or they might get more impatient. Our internet world changes constantly. What was last year is not necessarily the same thing that happens this year. How are you going to allow for that growth and change?
Mm-hmm. And that's critical. So, Shannon, before we leave this afternoon, can you talk about branding? Because I know it's something that you bring up a lot with authors.
I do. Your branding is not necessarily your logo or your colors or anything else. Those things play into your branding. Your branding is what your audience feels about you and what they say about you. It's their experience. And if you give them a consistent experience, then they can articulate it easily to other people and send people in your direction. That's why you want to be very clear about what your mission is. If you are confused and you keep changing, your audience will be confused and they won't know how to tell anybody what you're all about. So you want to be as clear and concise as possible and consistent. Judith, everybody knows what they're going to get when they get you. They're going to get authority. They're going to get a person with a great deal of education information. They know that purple and green are your colors. I mean, if they see that, they think of Judith. If they look at your books, they see Judith. And they know that if they mess up, Judith is going to be breathing down their neck because she cares. And she's not going to mince words. She's going to tell you the truth. So, you know, it's that loving mother, you know, that I almost said sappy, salty. Snappy, salty, and you know that let's get her done. You know, if they're serious about their book and they really want to get it done, but they know that they need some accountability, you better call Judith Sprouse. because she'll make sure that you get it done with style, learn a lot, and you'll have a success. But it's not for the faint of heart. You've got to push through because, you know, the expertise that you bring to the table is so off the charts that you really don't have time to waste with people who are unsure about their own business or what where they want to go. So it's definitely not for the faint of heart. Building a book is more involved. It's just like having a child.
Yeah, it is.
A lot of responsibility between that.
Yeah, and I have to say, coming back to our website issue, is that building a website is not for the faint of heart. I mean, it does take a plan. There is a game plan to it. There is the content, and this is one of the things authors need to understand, that they are the supplier of the content. Don't expect your webmaster to go out searching for content. You supply the content.
No.
Ooh. I mean, but I've seen that happen, Shannon.
Yeah.
Can you tell us? Yeah, we've got two minutes here. Here's what I want you to ask you and come back to finish up in that. But there's some that header, that dashboard, that header is really important. What are the things that are in right now in 2013 that makes a header catchy and attract the visitor?
Well, the first thing is that they want information and they want to know what they have to do with the information right away. Who are you all about? So you want your header to be very clear. You want it to state who you are, what your logo is, or what your presence is. And you want to have some kind of action on it. What's the phone number that they call? What is it that your mission is? What is it that you accomplish? What are you going to do for me? And you want to keep it simple, but you want to keep it consistent with who you are as an individual and who your industry is. If you are a lawyer, you're not going to have a lot of touchy-feely colors on it. If you are studying nature, you don't want it looking industrial, for instance. So it has to be true to who you are and what you're doing.
So it's got to stay in the visual brand, the visual genre, not the brand, the visual genre of what you are, because people who are looking for you are going to expect that as they land in there. That be correct to say?
Exactly. And, you know, there's a temptation for people to think in terms of product because they want to make money with what they've created, and they overlook the fact that they are the creator. So you really need to brand yourself as an author, and then your books become your side product, you know, the end results of what you're doing, and then your website can grow accordingly. If you build a website only based upon one book, then what are you going to create out of that one book?
All right.
You're going to have products out of that one book.
And that's not what you want. There's so much more. Books breed books. And with that, we're going to sign off. We'll have Shannon back. We're going to go in more of website makeovers that have gone right. And we'll dig down. This is Judith Bryles. You're listening to Your Guide to Book Publishing.
Thank you for being a part of Your Guide to Book Publishing. Everything you want to know but didn't know what to ask. With your host, Dr. Judith Bryles.